everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, May 19th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have with us a full panel roundtable today, folks. Firstly, we have Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener joining us. Welcome, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yes, good to have you here, Stephen. We have Mr. Mike Gaddy here with us today, folks. Mike, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks, Richard. Thanks for inviting me. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Indeed, indeed. Looking forward to this. I'm glad you could make it for sure. And we have Paul in California here on the panel as well. Paul, welcome. Here, it looks like we had muted you. It was a little shuffling at the beginning there with the Skype. I don't know, you may have to unmute there. But hello, can you hear us? Okay, he's still on mute. Okay, well, we'll bring him back in. Oh, that's me. I'm the one with the cat. Guilty as charged. Yeah, she likes to get very talkative whenever I do radio. I don't know. It must be a coincidence. I certainly couldn't blame her for anything.
Shut up.
There. Thanks. Yeah. No, Mr. Gaddy, perhaps you'd like to open the discussion. You know, with everything out there in the news thrown at us, even in independent media, you know, it's hard to decide what's worth addressing at the top of the bill.
Well, thanks, Richard. I must confess, I don't watch TV. I'm not much into the media. I don't do very much of that stuff, but I think there's enough trickle over that you can see some things that are very disconcerting that are happening on a daily basis in this country. But one of the things that has kind of stuck in my head for the past couple of days is why, after all of the things that have happened in this country that would lead us all, if we really had two brain cells to rub together, what is it that makes us continue to trust this government?
Yes, indeed. Stephen, would you like to follow that up?
Yeah, they lie to you as a matter of course. There is no, I do not have any faith at all in government. It's just... Yeah, I don't see why people want to go vote in more corrupt government when we have. It's never worked. I would rather live under an independent, free people. But you know, it's a corporatocracy. There is, and they've corrupted it through and through. Just the insurance companies are one thing, you know, and corporate governance instead of government is eating us alive as well. But no, I don't see any trust in government or corporations at this point, which they're both kind of one in the same, hand in glove, aren't they?
Yes. And as far as that topic of trusting government, I don't know if we have Paul with us now. Yeah, I don't know if you heard Mike's comment. I mean, could you trust government whatsoever, Paul?
Well, as long as it's a government by cats. I really like cats a lot. I love the meowing. I love the purring, you know, the rubbing against the leg. Cats are pretty cool. So, hey, is anybody today talking about slingshots and catapults? I really do think with today's modern materials, we might have a solution here. You know, they make it across the border, but they get slingshotted or catapulted right back. I'm loving it. We could employ Americans making catapults and slingshots, and you know, might solve a number of issues there. What do you guys think?
I think it's a trebuchet is the thing way to go. The way they sling the pumpkins, I've seen some contests where people would build their own. and throw pumpkins as far as they could.
And if we televise it and we allow advertisers to sell, you know, to buy, you know, time, I think we could have a money making proposition. Maybe Trump. Well, I got a new campaign slogan for Trump. Let me work on it a little bit.
Well, here, since you're bringing up Trump, Paul, and you're going there anyway, I mean, because I asked Mike, what's the most pressing news out there? A lot of people seem to think it's this Durham report, and you know, it just shows the bias for one party. I'm hearing a lot of shuffling. I don't know if you have your mic and phone settled there, but
I'm not moving. I'm sitting perfectly still in my car.
It seems to be Stephen who was the culprit. So yeah, he'll have to watch himself there.
Blame him anyway.
Damn Southerners.
Wait a minute, Paul. Wait a minute.
But what about this Durham report, Paul? What would you say as far as the significance of it or lack of, in your opinion?
A Durham report. I don't know. There's a Durham, North Carolina, am I correct? I didn't know about a Durham report, so please inform me.
Do I have the name? Am I pronouncing it wrong? Stephen. Could you fill Paul in with this special counsel?
Oh, well, it's... Yeah, he's the guy that was investigating the Russia collusion thing. It's about Trump. They were spying on him the whole time, and that the Russiagate was all nonsense. FBI knew it. They're the Federal Bureau. It's just more confirmation that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is a criminal organization, you know, and has, you know, upholding the traditions of J. Edgar Hoover, their founder and his boyfriend, you know, long ago. They're still doing it. That's what it boils down to, basically. And I think maybe it tried to distract everybody from the fact that they also know all the details about the money laundering with Biden. And I saw a guy have a press conference who's naming the companies that they use to launder the money.
And they're naming this administration as corrupt and in collusion with the FBI. The FBI is corrupt. A lot of people out there perhaps didn't realize how corrupt the entire government and all these three-letter agencies have been all along. And so this is a shock, perhaps, to a lot of people. And a lot of people who still want to be on the Trump train believe that at least in his second term, he'll fulfill all his promises and more. And so this John Durham, a 306-page report, showing that the FBI knew all along, and everyone knew all along, there was nothing to this Trump-Russia collusion, but they continued with it to impact regarding the election. Mr. Gaddy, perhaps you'd like to step in at this point, sir.
Well, here's the thing, and I was talking with a very close friend about this this morning, and we were talking about, do any of these presidents ever really care about what happens to the American public? And I said, well, absolutely not. They are dancing to the strings that are being pulled by others. But here is very simple logic, folks. If you really believe that America needs to protect its sovereignty, Trump, let's take him since he's been mentioned, instead of talking about blathering on forever about building a wall, when he became president in 2017, why didn't he recall the military from all those foreign countries and put it on the border? Who needs a wall? Put the military down there and say, okay, come on, if you want to, we're closing up our borders. That would be the ultimate form of security. You can't claim that you are protecting the country when you leave the border wide open. That is the most insane thing I have ever heard in my life. And let's not forget that the first secretary, or whatever you want to call him, of Homeland Security, Tom Ridge, made the statement, and this, of course, was back in the 2002, somewhere in that era, but he made the statement, and then the next day he was gone. He made the statement that they had actually been tracking suitcase nukes coming across the southern border. And the next day, he's no longer Secretary of Homeland Security. If that actually had occurred, why are people not more concerned? And I know during my tenure, when I was with the Minuteman Project, one of the leaders of the Minuteman Project in 2005, I remember very distinctly when we were responsible for helping the Border Patrol round up 27 Iranians who had slipped across our southern border. And then when we talked with the sergeant with the Border Patrol who had been in charge of the operation, later we saw him in Sierra Vista and happened to sit down and have a meal with him. And we asked him, we said, what happened with those guys? And he said, oh, they're OTMs. And we said, what's an OTM? He said, other than Mexican.
Other than Mexican.
And I said, well, what happened to them? What happened to those 27 Iranians? He said, oh, they were all carried to Tucson, where they were formally indicted by a federal grand jury, and then all were released on their own recognizance.
Well, I, teacher, I'm raising my hand. I have an answer for our esteemed colleague as to why Trump didn't do this. Are you guys ready? Here's the answer. Because that would not be in keeping with providing the services that these migrants need, because as you well know, they need services. So the purpose of government is to provide needed services, and I think that that will solve the question. You know, the whole immigration thing reminds me of just another one of these things that we don't vote on. So for example, did we get to vote? What sane human being would vote for a policy where we have an immigration set of laws that's designed to exclude, you know, people that we don't want, you know, to invite people that we do want? And when you come here without permission and you make it across, we say, okay, you're here now. Here's a court date. Come back for a hearing. But until then, you can remain. Who would vote for such a thing? Once again, showing you the power of the vote.
Well, Paul, one of the crazy things when I asked the Border Patrol sergeant, I said, released on their own recognizance, how many of them actually show up for trial? And he broke into laughter.
Imagine my shock.
Oh, no. It's just insane.
Well, here it shows unequivocally. Number one, why don't we treat other lawbreakers the same way? If you walk across that border, you have committed a crime, 28 USC. You have committed a crime by coming across that border. All right, so why don't we treat other people that way? Why don't we take bank robbers and say, okay, well, all right, guys, you've done it. Okay, now just keep the money. Don't do it again.
You know, for a lot of black criminals, that is indeed near the case, or in actuality the case. I remind the listeners, and I don't know the names off the top of my head, but there was a case, I believe, in one of the Carolina states, and or in that neighborhood, actually, where a white tutor met a black so-called college student at a donut shop. I think it was a Dunkin' Donuts, to tutor him for a calculus exam. And an argument ensued when the black didn't want to pay the white tutor, and the white tutor ended up using an ethnic slur, it's reported, and then he ended up getting murdered as a result. And initially, the DA, a Jewish DA, was going to charge him with manslaughter, but somehow delayed, dragged it out, and then in the end, didn't charge him at all. You guys remember that case?
No, I'm not aware of that one. I wouldn't be surprised at all, but I'm not aware of that one.
Yeah, I could find the link, because I just saw it yesterday or the day before in National Vanguard when I was reading through their, their catalog of these horrific black-on-white crimes. I mean, that site is great, along with several others. They basically keep a nice little catalog going back quite a long ways of all these horrific black-on-white crimes that are generally not only not covered or not reported, but in many cases go under-prosecuted or not even prosecuted at all. And this was a very well-known case where this guy basically got away with murder because the white man called him what he was. So, anyway, we're already there, gentlemen. We're already there.
Oh, we have been for quite some time. There's no doubt about that in my mind. We have been. You know, we can go back, guys. What is it now? We're in the 60th year of the JFK assassination. And allegedly, the Warren Commission came down with the final decree. Yet, a great majority of all of the information there is still classified. Why?
Stephen?
Yes, very corrupt. 60th year, I'd implicate the, you know, the actual people that did it, I guess. I mean, it's ridiculous at this point. I saw an article I was looking for. I did not just find it, that indicated that our Department of Homeland Security was coordinating with the Mexican authorities with an encrypted WhatsApp channel to stage the groups flowing across the border. That they would, you know, they would gather in a group there by the river, and then one guy, this Mexican guy, would be watching them and waving them back, and then at some point he would stand up and give them a signal, and they would all cross at once. And they, you know, they were just regulating the flow coming in illegally with Mexico. You know, it's, there's evidence of it, well, but nothing gets done. Yeah,
and exactly. there's another point or a couple to address here, or at least implying with some of these references, is the, as David Scorpio always points out, the legal immigration. Even forgetting about the illegal, even if you stopped all that, the legal immigration is destroying us, and will continue to at the rate it's been going ever since, what, the mid-60s, when the laws changed regarding how practices are with immigration, as well as hiring practices and in the schools, you know, integrating everything forcibly. So when people talk about the U.S. as a great experiment, you know, as if from the beginning or something, and then other people say, oh, it was a corporation from the beginning, you know, it was never for the people. Mr. Gaddy dissects things in far more detail than those vague references. But the point when it was forced integration, though, that was the real experiment, I think. But I don't think it will be possible. Go ahead, please, sir.
If you don't mind, I'll just take a quick stab at this. There's a way to look at this. Now, we can talk all you want about forming governments, right, and what was the intent of the founders and so on and so forth. But in the end, always things come down to staking out a bit of land for oneself or one's people or one's family. Okay, it's taking, you know, and keeping territory exclusively for your in-group. It could be a tribe. In this case, it was supposed to be a nation, and I think we all know here what a nation actually means, right? It doesn't mean a piece of paper. So the problem is this, is our masters, okay, who are the world, let's give it to them. They're the world's most skillful manipulators and propagandists, and they've got a multi-pronged strategy, and one is to essentially destroy our racial consciousness and our racial cohesion while promoting the racial cohesion and the racial interest of others. And the minute that we start acting like we are a group of men that want our own place in the sun, that we want our own piece of ground, and we make no apologies for it, then we can start to win. And that means that we have to forget about politics, politicians, and elections. Because I think among the panel, Mike Gaddy could be categorized as an historian, I would imagine. And I think any, shall we say, unjaundiced look at history reveals that history is won by people that take action and impose their will on others. I'm sorry, it's the way it is.
I hear the music, so yeah, Mr. Gaddy will respond to you, sir, after this break. Stick around, listeners. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with a full panel roundtable, Stephen Douglas Whitener, Mike Gaddy, and Paul in California. And after the comments I had made and the points Paul had added, Mr. Gaddy, I don't know, what would you like to address, sir?
Well, I would like to respectfully disagree to some points and times, and I think the misnamed alleged Civil War is a great example of that. There were a group of people in the South who had staked out their property, had formed a way of life, and all of that happened to be within the confines of the Constitution. Yes, slavery was constitutional. Immoral? Yes. Constitutional? Yes. But those people who just wanted to be left alone to do as they would with what they owned and what was in their possession, they became the targets of the people who decided they didn't want them to have that, and they wanted to take whatever treasures or personal belongings that they might have in any way, shape, form, or fashion, including mass genocide, to get rid of them. We're seeing so many relations to that today. I'm seeing the same thing, because many, you could say that the Union Army was an army of immigrants. I mean, there were divisions within the Union Army that didn't even speak English. And so I think we're getting ready to see the same thing. I think that's the reason that all of these people, especially of military age, are being ushered across the border.
Stephen?
Okay, already.
Yeah, I completely agree, too. And this enmity and opposition against such nation states, like the states as nations themselves, was baked in the cake, so to speak, from the beginning, even when they were negotiating the Articles of Confederation. The attitude of some of these people has always been they want to govern the people as a whole and control us all as a whole, you know, instead of allowing that identity, that local staked out sovereignty. So I just wanted to mention that. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, sure. I don't think I heard a lot of disagreement there. What I would point out, I think it should be obvious to everyone at this point, is being left alone is not a winning strategy. And in fact, being left alone is not on our enemy's agenda. Okay, that should be clear. So all I was saying was this, that we have to get it through our heads. I'm sorry, but the strong win. The National Socialists were correct when they wrote about nature. Okay, and we have a very determined, implacable enemy that has demonstrated centuries-long agenda against us. I heard a show the other day, I'll leave it this for now. It was on another network with a host. Some of us would probably recognize the host's name, and he had a guest. I had not heard the guest before that I recall. And the host was going through the usual political blather, you know, the Trump administration, the Mueller investigation, Russiagate, Dominion voting, blah, 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 blah. And the guest made the simple point amongst 20 to 30 millions of his brilliant insights and remarks that it's a time in history where men of action have to win the day. There's no other way out. I'm sorry. It's not Fed posting. It's recognizing reality. And I don't know. I feel like it's my job to say it. And I do so as many times as I can. I'm sorry, but there's just no political way out that I see. This does not end well unless there's going to be the kind of end that most people don't want. But it's unavoidable. We didn't choose it. It's forced upon us.
Mr. Well, Gaddy? if you're afraid of strong men, breed it out of the population, which is exactly what they've been doing here for 50 years.
Precisely.
You breed it out of the people, then you don't have to worry about them standing up and doing stuff. That's one of the reasons they hate the image of the Southerner. That's why their images have to be torn down. Those people who had the intestinal fortitude to say, not no, but hell no, we're not putting up with this. You can't allow that kind of personality to breed. You can't let those people. So you tear down their images, you take their flags, you take their music, you make them look as if they are the quintessential bad guy, and then you turn the men in the country into a bunch of little effeminate flip-flops.
I like the way you put that, a little effeminate flip-flops. That really nails it. Stephen, we're almost on the break.
And, promote them in the military as well and completely cut that off. If anyone who has any of those characteristics, don't let them rise in rank above a certain point and eliminate them as they go. Yeah, that's been done at least 50 years, too.
Well, Stephen, and I know we don't have the time here, but I think you and I, or maybe we could get Richard in and Paul or others. But the other day, I sat right outside my house here at my picnic table, and I sat there with a high-ranking Air Force officer, general rank, mm-hmm. and he happens to be a neighbor, and his wife is just retired Air Force officer, high-ranking officer, and he's got, like, I think he told me, like 8 months left to go. We talked about what was going on in the military, and like I said, at least in the Air Force. We talked about that because he had close detail. Go ahead. We'll cover it on the other side, guys.
We'll be right back, folks.
This is not America.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with Stephen Douglas Weitener, Mike Gaddy, and Paul in California. Mr. Gaddy, please continue where you were going with that, sir.
Well, it was, I can't get into all the details. We certainly wouldn't have the time, Richard, and I don't want to monopolize your program that way. But one of the things we talked about is I asked him, I said, okay, what are you seeing? And he said, I am from time to time, here we're talking about a general officer. He said, from time to time, I speak with my cohorts in the other branches. He said, we're all experiencing the same issues. He said, but in any detail, I can only speak for the Air Force. And he said, I can tell you this, recruitment is done. He said, all we get is people yelling at us from the Pentagon to find some way to increase recruitment. We've got to get people in here. We're very, very short of qualified people. And he said that a very close friend of his was actually kind of lost a job for making the statement, well, if you would straighten out the military and quit adhering to homosexuals and weirdos, we might be able to recruit somebody. And he was penalized for that. The other thing, and I'll touch on this very briefly, was he said that the thing that he is noticing is that within the high-ranking officers' rank, that they are refusing to take new commands. Even when offered a promotion to move in to be a wing commander or what have you, they are saying no. The experienced people are saying, no, I don't want that. And I said, well, I said, Mike, why? why is that happening? And he said, well, he said, it's really quite obvious is that they're not going to go into, they don't want to go anywhere where they cannot discipline the people under them for regardless of what they do. And they have learned in the military that if you try to, discipline someone, the first thing you're going to hit with is you are either a racist, a homophobe, you're this, that, or the other. And he said, you're in more trouble for trying to discipline these idiots than they are for the idiotic acts that they perform.
Paul? Just a little bit further on that, refusing to take commands, in other words, new assignments, or refusing to take promotions, or both?
Well, sometimes they're both, Paul. Sometimes to move into a wing commander position, you may go from a brigadier general to a major general to take over those because that's a normal slot. They are refusing both, according to my source. He said they don't want any of these to because they're going to be blamed because it doesn't succeed, and there's no way to succeed. The tools aren't there, so they're not going to jeopardize themselves. And he said at our rank, most people have a few years at most left to retire. They're just wanting out of here.
Yeah, see, the construct is in place, and it's probably a poor analogy, but it's in the universe, shall we say. When I was a security guard and they asked me if I wanted to go into loss prevention, you know, which actually was a substantial pay raise, by the way. And I said, okay, will I be able to touch anyone? Can I put hands on anybody? And they said, no. I said, I'm not interested then. What's the point? You know, so it's kind of like the way I feel the construct is in place that essentially ties our hands to be who and what we should be and need to be. So again, the whole system's got to crumble, and the sooner the better, in my opinion.
Stephen,
that about the military, what made me think of was what I had heard had happened in Paris back in 1870 when they fell in the Commune of Paris, took over what they did to the military. That's just what was going through my mind. I'm sorry to bring that up out of the blue, but you know, they've done that to our military now. It doesn't bode well for the future. I was thinking of the things that happened there and how that's going to happen on a national scale now instead of just that one city. We're all over the globe. It definitely is the time where this empire looks like it's ready to crumble. They're destroying what military it has. Well, what's going to go take its place? They're corporate militaries. They're Wagner and they're Mozart and they're private armies. You know, there are no political solutions. I agree.
And all this just quickly further illustrates the point of what supposedly some of our founding fathers said about letting these people in, and as well as the Germans wanting to keep them out, not just of Germany, but of Europe. Because here's the thing, you got to be truthful about these people, okay? Is they will sooner or later be in charge. They will get in charge. That's what they do. So that's why you can't let them in. You know, there can't be any equivocation or any apology. You know, and sure, they'll write terrible books about the winners. The winners will be, if we ever lose again, which we're losing now, right? These people will do nothing more but what they've always done, which is to somehow, some way get in charge, which is why they have to be excluded. And, you know, it's just going to leave out some of the good as we try to exclude the bad. But it's always the same recipe and always the same result. Anyway, thank you.
Mr. Getty.
Yes, sir. Looking at this, you know, I think back about excluding people, and you know, I go back to the Constitutional Convention, and especially with one Benjamin Franklin, who, as a matter of fact, most people don't know, was never even invited to the Constitutional Convention. He wasn't a delegate from any state; he just showed up. But anyway, the fact that he had with him a letter from the Quaker Society asking them to please not include slavery into the Constitution because the Quakers felt like it would destroy any country that had it, and rightfully so. I think they're right. But Benjamin Franklin didn't read that letter. But what letter, what letter did he read? A letter from Jonas Phillips of the Synagogue of Philadelphia begging or pleading with the delegates to do away with any oath in the Constitution to the Christian faith because it prevented Jews from serving in government. So what did he read? What did he leave out? Okay, we're going to have slavery, but we also we have to. And then they did that with Article 6, Clause 3, or Paragraph 3. They did away with any oath to the Christian faith so that Jews could serve in the government. And, of course, their biggest guy at the time was none other than Alexander Hamilton. And he was actually the president. George Washington was not our first president. He was our first puppet. Hamilton and his bankers ran the government from the get-go.
Paul?
Yeah, no, I mean, and we're enjoying the blessings of liberty, right? The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and everything else secured for us the blessings of liberty, did it not? Again, it's, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what we're taught, Paul.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Stephen, where would you like to take things?
Well, I want to let everybody know that I'll be at the Dixie Republic for an event tomorrow afternoon. I was just thinking about that, honestly, to tell you the truth. But, you know, this, the string pullers are always there behind this so-called president. I was thinking of the guy that pulled Woodrow Wilson's strings, this colonel. I forgot his name right now, but
House.
House. That's right. Thank House. You. Yes. Mandel House. Yes. And his, yep. he wrote this book, Drew Somebody Administrator, which would be, I mean, you know, these same. Oh, it just, yeah.
Philip
my head. Philip Drew. There you go. Thank you.
Okay. See, Don't forget your wonderful handler for FDR, Harry Dexter White. Don't forget him. He was the handler. He was the one who engineered, working with Stalin, engineered the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor so that they could free up Russia from having to fight a war on two fronts, one against Japan and the other against Germany. And working with his agents, Harry Dexter White, W-E-I-T, changed it to W-H-I-T-E, as most of them usually change their name in one purchase, in one way or another. So there we have that handler. And, you know, and anyone who knows anything at all about LBJ knows that from the very get-go, his handler was Abe Fortas, who engineered his crooked election in which he became a senator from Texas in the beginning. I think it was 1948. And then, of course, you know, LBJ, as soon as, make sure that Fortas gets on to the Supreme Court. And then Fortas also operates under Operation Cyanide, which a lot of people have never heard of. He operates in the 303 committee. Abe Fortas is the one who engineers the attack on the USS Liberty.
Okay.
Operation Cyanide, folks, read it.
Well, it's some interesting information you've shared here about early footholds that Jews had, even at the birth of the Constitution level. Paul, go ahead, and what else would you like to address to Mr. Getty?
Well, I mean, to everybody and the listeners, I mean, before we started taking calls, I wanted to quickly just read briefly from this article, which I was going to do at the beginning. It's a little bit of a delayed segue from talk about slavery, but it is, of course, the legacy of slavery. And over at National Vanguard, like I say, they have a catalog of all sorts of various crimes that you can go back and look at. And I just was reading one early this morning, and it was written in such a way that just really hit me, right? And so the title of the article is "Shh, Another Hate Crime," right? And it shows a picture of this cute little white toddler. I mean, well, the sweetest little white kid you can imagine. Of course, he's now gone. This is from 2016. The article starts out, "Hello. Don't recognize me? That's okay. I understand. My name is Antonio West. I was the child who was shot in the face at Point Blank Range by two black teens. They were trying to rob my mom, who was also shot. I think my murder and my mommy's wounding made the news for maybe a day or so and then disappeared. A grand jury of my mommy's peers from Brunswick, Georgia, ruled the black teens who murdered me will not face the death penalty. It's too bad it was me that got the death penalty instead." And on it goes, a few more paragraphs. And then later on in another article, it actually, it was fantastic. They took all the aggregated data, okay, from the so-called FBI and Justice Department's crime statistics from 1967 to 2022, okay? A nice hunk of time. And what they found, and they did the best work they could to separating out, okay, based upon percentages of whites, because as you may know, that the whites get, Hispanics, okay, or Latinos often get categorized as whites in these, in this data. So they know roughly the percentages. They did a more, shall we say, refined interpretation, and they found that as a black person, you are 19 times, a little bit more than 19 times more likely to commit a crime against a white than vice versa. So I'm not much on math, but I believe 19 times is 1,900%. Would that be right, Mike and Stephen?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So that's the legacy of slavery that we have to this day. That's all these crimes, like I said, that they basically put together from 67 to 2022. This was a separate article from the one I just read. By the way, the article from which I just read, after this little story was over about this little boy, listed, I think, 7 or 8 other white murders with black perpetrators that, of course, we hadn't heard about. And that's just part of this whole tapestry that we are either subjected to, or that, and also is kept hidden from us by our masters, our racial alien masters. And that's what is occurring at the border, by the way. It's an invasion of racial aliens, engineered, orchestrated, and funded by racial aliens that rule us. And when we start to figure this out, maybe we have a chance.
Mike?
Wow, I totally agree with that. And here's the point, is that you can't wake these people up. I had the discussion with some folks a couple of days ago, and I asked this, well, yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the Jim Ram program, when I asked the group, was Alexander Hamilton right in what he said? He said, yes, very distinctly, that the people are too damn dumb to govern themselves. Now, somebody convince me that's not true in America today.
Yeah, well, yeah, for the average person, that unfortunately is a great part of the issue we would face if you looked at true self-governance. And, well, classically defined anarchy, I suppose that would be technically.
Mike, the thought occurred to me that the Mission Impossible team could not convince you of that.
Well, we have a caller. We have a caller for the panel to address the panel. Dan in Washington. Dan.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't hear it switch over. Well, I used to listen to Stormfront, and Don Advil was a guest. And he had a lot of knowledge about medieval European history. I guess there's been some books about Poland and the Jews in the medieval times, how these people would side with the royal families and basically be tax collectors and oppress the peasants. And just what Paul said struck me. I mean, America, to me, seems like it's almost like in Roman times, when Jews were free and you had the downfall of society. But, the entire Middle Ages is a story of people segregated. They had enough common sense to not let Jews rule their societies, I guess. And it kind of feels like America is just an ancient, like, medieval battleground, in a sense. You know, you have these court term to look up is court Jew. You know, these court Jews would come in and side with the king against the peasants and stuff. But
Mike,
go ahead. It feels like that to me. I mean, what do you guys feel? It feels like that in a sense.
Mike, would you like to respond? I was going to say to Dan.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no problem. yes, there is all kind of historical precedents for this. The problem is that Americans are about as ignorant of history as any group of people has been, and that was purposely brought on by the three nonprofit foundations back in 1908, 1909, through that time, the Ford, Rockefeller, and Carnegie foundations wanted to make sure that what history that the Americans knew about was false, and they've done one heck of a job getting that done. And so, you know, if you ask people questions, you know, I think a classic example is the area where I am right now. They're having a homeschoolers reunion, not reunion, but a whatever you call it, where they all get together and they talk about the things that have worked and the things that didn't work in homeschooling and all of this stuff. There's a community center here, and they've used that this week for their get-togethers. And I talked with one of the administrators, and she told me, I asked her, I said, well, what sources do you use for your history instruction? She said, oh, we don't do history. History is just a waste of time. We do math and science. We don't worry about history.
Oh, wow.
So even they've even enveloped the homeschoolers. The homeschoolers have fallen for this just as much as anyone else.
Yeah. Yep. Got another caller?
Yeah, we have another caller. Jay in Louisiana. Jay.
Hey, it's Jay in Los Angeles, but no big deal.
Okay. L.A.
Real quick, I know. Yeah, unfortunately. I know that the I agree, Paul, that there really is only hope if people is going to get physical and all that. But for the time being, to slow things down, do you think there would be any help to if white people stopped being allowing people to lump us into this being white? And identified more with like European roots, and there could be like, well, you're being, you know, anti-German or anti-Italian, because that's the game they're playing there. And I don't allow people to call me white, and I do find that it kind of upsets their circuitry a little bit. I was wondering what you thought of that. I know it's not a cure-all or anything, but just a sort of a little bit of a pushback.
Mike?
Well, I agree. I am me. I am an individual. I certainly have this, but I've asked this question recently. What if you got in as much trouble in Europe and as much trouble in America for anti-whiteism as you do anti-Semitism?
Hey, can we vote on that?
Yeah, okay. Let's vote.
You know, here's the problem, Jay. And again, it's all these sentiments are great. But we're not in control. Like I have made the point so many times, all this talk about, for example, free speech and many other things, it's really a talk about who's in power. I mean, that's all that really matters. And I like to, again, I've used the playground analogy so many times, and I like to say I tire of it, but I guess I really don't because I keep bringing it up. You know, we've all had to go through issues and problems with others in our life on the so-called playground, right? We all had to do it more than likely. Elementary, junior high, high school, whatever. It just happens. It's part of growing up. And you figure out pretty quickly that all the words in the world don't matter once you get punched or once you punch somebody in the mouth, right? It's like the old football analogy, but we're going to punch the other team in the mouth, right? So all the talk, all the words, all the terms, all the documents, that's all gone the minute things get physical. And unfortunately, they're backing us into a corner. This is like the playground bully where they will not leave us alone. They've already stolen our lunch money. They've mm-hmm. already embarrassed us in front of our friends. Now they're getting ready to hit us.
Steven.
As a matter of fact, anyway, they're already hitting us.
Yeah, I've been in a few. Anyway, I don't want it to come to that, but you're probably right. And nowadays, though, the wielding of soft power seems to be what's happening. It's being used against us. They're not coming after us. They're sending these poor refugees, you know, these immigrants and stuff. And if we even play into their dialectic at all, it's like it seems like I'm being part of it by opposing it. I want to transcend the whole thing in some way, like Richard says at the end of the show. And I don't know about I'm part of the refuse to answer race. When people from authority, quote unquote authority, ask me what race I am, I say I'm part of the refuse to answer none. You just leave me alone. But I realize they won't completely leave us. Eventually, they are going to come. You're right. And the way things keep repeating, I would say this referencing back to Dan as well, how history repeats itself again. It's like the Bolshevik and then the Maoist thing with the Cultural Revolution are being repeated here today, and this is what it looks like in the USSA today. That's just where I'll leave it there and toss it back to you guys. Thanks.
Well, Jay, in Los Angeles, California, do you have anything else?
No, I was just going to say, I understand that the playground analogy, but I just thought that it's sort of like we live in a hierarchy of victimhood. That's what they've created. So it's, in other words, if we're in a casino that they've stacked all the deck, we might as well get some of those stacked dice, loaded dice that they are, and play with those in order to, because if whites can separate from this big amoeba that they can attack and make a boogeyman out of, if we can fractionalize that, then they don't have a target. And we're on the victim scale.
So quickly, Jay, we're running out of time, but listen, you've called before. You're a good caller. I can tell you're a smart guy. You're a smart guy, and you're probably like me. Internally, you're a gentle soul, okay? I'm that same way. I'm a decent guy. But we're not talking about, how we categorize or refer to ourselves or how others refer to us, how the media portrays us, and that sort of language. We're far past that. Unfortunately, it's kind of irrelevant at this point because we're being invaded by millions and millions of non-white aliens, and I would imagine their collective IQ ranges around 75 to 80. So it's the death to our country, and we have to treat it as such. And no, sort of language is going to help us at this point. I'm sorry to say it, but it's just the way I feel.
The prophecy is in the numbers, unfortunately. Well, thank you, Jay. We'll have to continue
this. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jay.
Another time. Folks, do check out Mike Gaddy on the National Intel Report every Friday night. And that's, 5 p.m. Central. He's also on Saturdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Central. Saturdays, Rebel Madman Radio with Mike Gaddy. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for being with us, sir.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for the hit there. I appreciate the promo.
Indeed, sir. And, of course, check out Stephen Douglas Weitener every Saturday morning with Thought Crime Live. That's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central. Stephen, it was a pleasure.
Thank you, as always, Richard. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
And, Paul, thank you as well, sir. And we look forward to hearing you back on my show next Tuesday.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Thanks for having me on today, Richard. Appreciate it.
Okay, folks, well, please support the station to keep all this free speech alive. Do enjoy your weekend, but go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on that donate button to keep all this possible. We've had a bit of a rough patch, and RBN could use your donations this May for certain.
And thanks, everyone.
And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.